All right, we're at the House of Geekery. We're at Supernova in Perth. It's 2015, and we're talking to Justin Randall. Hello.
Hello.
Now, for those listening at home, what do you do?
I am a graphic novelist, which is a fancy way of saying that I write stories and draw pictures in a book form.
Little bit more complicated, because that could be everything from the Mr. Men stories all the way up.
Yeah, true. Mainly horror. I'd say supernatural horror is what I'm probably... Well, horror is probably what I'm mostly known for. Some 30 Days of Night, some Silent Hill, and my own series, Changing Ways.
We're going to come to Changing Ways a bit later, because I really like Changing Ways, and I want to talk about it.
Excellent.
Specifically where book three is. But you've really come into prominence with work on 30 Days of Night and Silent Hill. How did that work come about?
It's interesting. The 30 Days of Night book was actually my first comic ever. I'd done, obviously, a few little things on the side, but nothing published. So I was working on Changing Ways, and I sent some samples through to Steve Niles, who's the writer for 30 Days of Night, and quite naively just sent him a few samples of Changing Ways and said, hey, I'd like to work with you someday. I'd even do it for free. And luckily he didn't remember that bit. He just remembered the offer. Ben Temple-Smith, who was obviously a co-creator of 30 Days of Night, was also a friend of mine, and I think he must have vouched for me, because they gave me the gig to do it, and it wasn't, I think, halfway through the book, they IDW emailed to ask me if it was my first comic. And I said, yes, it is. And they went, yep, no worries. So they didn't actually realise it was the first comic I'd worked on. But I'd obviously worked as an illustrator. So there's a lot of networking and a bit of good luck, I think.
Well, the 30 Days of Night, which later became You Worked on Silent Hill, mm-hmm. and Our Changing Ways, they're all really twisted, full of disturbing imagery. Mm-hmm. Where does that come from?
It's almost like getting things out. So I'm a friendly, happy person, but the stuff I draw and illustrate is often a little bit dark and foreboding. The two don't match up. So for me, it only makes sense that I feel like I'm kind of harnessing and trapping and containing all the creepy, weird, spooky stuff that's inside me. And if I put it on the page, then I've controlled it. Do you know what I mean? So psychologically, it's almost like turning the lights on and looking under the bed. Like, I get to control the monster because I've pinned it down.
Right. Maybe I should have gotten into comics. As well as being quite twisted and scary looking, mm-hmm. you've got a really unique art style, and we're going to chuck in like samples of pictures underneath the text here. What's your process? How do you come to that? Because I can't even work out how you do it.
Yeah, I did start recording the process for a book, for a technique book, and I think I was 40 minutes in of just saying the steps to do, and I was still in the traditional painted stage. The technique I have is actually really quite unique, but only because of my own limitations. I found it very difficult early on to draw the way I thought I was supposed to. And this is, you know, some things that people find easy, I would find hard. And I experienced this when I used to be a skateboarder. I would skate ramps and, you know, do wall rides I'd go down flights of stairs and do 360 bonuses, but my ollies were terrible. You know, the one basic little jump maneuver that people could do, that everyone does, mine were just terrible. And when it came to my artwork, the things that other people found really easy or could learn a lot quicker, I just couldn't do. Like, I would pick up the Hogarth drawing books and I would really struggle with perspective and getting proportions right. Mm-hmm. So then I started photographing, and I would photograph all my own content, because I truly believed that it had to be my own work. So I would photograph models and locations, and then I would start to stitch the scenes together, you know, just like a little montage. And then from those, I would draw all over them, and then I would then put them on a light table and then redraw it again. And then I would print that out onto card and then paint it. And then I would scan that, and then I would start doing all the colour work. So a lot of people don't realise that everything I do is hand-drawn and hand-painted before it touches the computer. But I'm also using a lot of photo montaging of images I've taken to actually build that initial piece.
That's why it's got such a layered look to it.
Yes. Yeah, and because the final drawing is in alignment with the original photos, I can pick and choose little tiny parts of the photos to pop through, and the most common being the nose. Like, I hate drawing noses. I don't want to draw a nose, but you're always going to see the nose when you're using the face as a focal point. So you'll often if you want to look for where my photography's creeping through, you'll always spot it around the nose area. And then my job is to then stitch it together so you don't notice the separation. Like, there has to be a very smooth blending so that the any photo elements don't pop out and look uncomfortable. They need to blend in with the image. So digitally, I'll spend a fair bit of time touching up and making sure that those stitches within the seams don't stick out.
Right. Now, let's get on to Changing Ways. I mean, we've read it and we've reviewed it. Can we get from the author's perspective, what is Changing Ways?
Changing Ways follows a family in a small town where something really weird happens. And it's I usually do the disclaimer that there's not zombies, there's no viruses, there's no vampires, zombies, viruses, the sort of things that you might think are in there, but they're not. It's a really strange story, a little bit quite supernatural. But I would kind of describe it as War of the Worlds meets Noah's Ark without the religion. And that's the overall Changing Ways mythos. Each book in itself is fairly unique. Book one is a 24-hour terror ride, terror experience in a small town with a lot of rain. And you follow this family that they're trying to survive. Whereas book two is a road movie almost. You know, it's out in the desert. And book three is going to be very much 70s horror inspired, very colourful. But again, my trademark sort of like heavy rain, woodland areas, creepy buildings, that kind of jazz. That's the stuff I really like. I grew up, I spent a lot of time alone on a farm. You know, my folks would go off or do their own thing, and I'd be put on a bus to go to my grandmother's farm in the middle of nowhere, and I'd be alone on this weird farm, and I think a lot of my influences come from that.
How weird was the farm?
A lot of the places that you see in Changing Ways were places that I went back to and photographed. So the Grey Oaks town is very much like these sort of farming areas that I used to go to. Yeah, it's creepy. Wow.
That is creepy, then. Yeah. So what's, you said book three is going a bit more 70s. Is it still going to have ties to the other books?
Yeah, of course. Without giving any spoilers away, book three occurs immediately after book one in terms of timeline. Oh. Right, yeah, so you have a 10-year gap between books one and two, which shows you what's happened with the children. And then I do something. This is all intentional. And again, without trying to reveal anything, any spoilers, I had to create some distance with the reader and a particular character. I needed them to let go of a character so the impact of what was to come would be greater. And, book three is something I'm really proud of so far. It's my best work, but it's taking a bit longer. And it's... When I say 70s sort of horror, I think of films like Suspiria, because a big film influence for most of my books, but I think of colourful, vibrant colours, you know, in these dark, spooky sort of buildings and localities, and that's why it's sort of, that's what I hearken back to. Like, it reminds me of some of these colourful old 70s horror films.
Nice. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah. And there'll be a snow globe in there too. This is important, right? This little thing. I'm going to hide a snow globe in the book. The first person to photograph the snow globe, to find it from a hard copy, will get an original piece of artwork from the book. So an original painted page.
I know what I'm doing for the first time. Just going through and looking for a snow globe.
Yeah, I'm going to hide a snow globe in there.
How well hidden?
Really well hidden. Oh, I'm going to try and make it really well hidden, yeah. So first person to spot it, photograph it from the book, will get some original art sent to them.
I'm going to find out. It's been said now, House of Geekery, I want all my readers onto this. Find it for me. How far ahead have you plotted Changing Ways?
I actually wrote book three twice. I wrote it with an event that I knew was coming, but then decided that the story that I've now put in there, I was going to have it later, but I've just moved it forward. So I kind of wrote book three, started the artwork on book three, and then reset the whole thing and rewrote book three again, and then restarted the artwork again for a completely different story. So that's another reason why it was delayed a little bit. Yeah, there's two scripts there, two books written, and a substantial amount of artwork for one that may never see the light of day. I don't know yet.
Oh, sorry, Jules photographer has a question. Go ahead.
How long does it take? Just like one page?
One page of the comic could be done within a day, but again, depends on what photography I need to take. Like, often there might be day trips where I'll go to places and I'll try and find localities or even a particular tree Like if I want a particular, like an oak tree, like I need to have oak tree, so because the town's called Grey Oak, so I might spend half a day looking for a tree. But if I've got my image resources, I could comfortably finish a piece in one day. But that would involve setting the scene up with all the photo elements, then redrawing all the extra content, and then drawing the whole thing in pencil, then painting it in a wash of just grey ink, which is, I use a couple of droplets of Indian ink in shot glasses. So I have two shot glasses, one with about half an inch of water, one with 1 inch of water. And the little one I put like 4 droplets in, and the tall water I put 1 droplet in. So that's my light grey. And the other one's my dark grey. Wow. Yeah. So anyone out there who's been told they have to buy Copic markers and spend hundreds of dollars on these expensive textures, you don't. Mm-hmm. If you want to do renderings or concept art sketches in black and white, you can do it very quickly with a cheap imitation sable brush and some ink. I use a really fine 0.04 mechanical pencil lead, which is so brittle it breaks constantly. You can't buy them anymore, I don't think. But I 0.35. Can you? No, maybe I'm using a 0.35. Oh, no, it's super small. But I had a friend who was working at Faber-Castell, and they went to the warehouse and got the whole stock for me. I hope I didn't dob her in. Yeah, but she gave me a lot. She was one of my students.
That's a made-up story. Yeah, nobody at fault.
And I kind of may have ended up with a lifetime supply of this particular lead. So I draw with those, but when I scan it, I bump the contrast up so it looks like ink line work. So I get the benefit of the contrast, but I can rub it out.
Speaking of things you can't buy anymore, Changing Ways Book 1.
Yeah, it's run out on its second print run now, so we are looking at a third print run for the book. It may be when the book 3 is released, I don't know. It just depends on the publisher.
Now, do you have a dream project that if the big names came and said, you can do any comic you want, any comic character?
Yeah, I do. I actually do. And I'm thinking of just doing it for fun. And just starting it. I've always wondered why the Konami have never done Silent Hill, the first game, as a comic. I don't understand why. And I thought I might just do it for fun. I was just going to do maybe 2 or 3 pages just for funsies because I want to see it as a comic. And the first game, I want to see that as a comic. Or the second game, but I don't understand why they haven't done it based on such cult classics. Yeah. So that would be a dream job, but I would actually just... I think I'd like to just do some of it just for fun.
Do it and maybe they'll pick it up.
Yeah, if not, it's still fun, yeah.
Because Silent Hill and your particular style, they mesh.
Yeah, I have to get better at some action sequences. I think I handle suspense very well, but I want to get better at handling action and motion a little bit more. But yeah, it's a learning curve. I'm just trying to get better.
Well, thanks for stopping and talking to us, and we'll let you get back to your booth.
No worries.
Meet the public. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Thank you.
Cheers.